I am manipulating the clay, and I kind of work from the forehead down through the bridge of the nose. Then I'll kind of start manipulating the clay to get the form of the eyes. And then usually what I'll do is I'll take a particular instrument here, I don't know if I have it, and sort of start working out the nose and the mouth. But I actually don't use many tools. I'm using my index and my thumb a great deal. My name is Paula Whaley. I'm here at 2103 North Charles Street, Baltimore, Maryland. It was about 12 years ago, and actually I was kind of looking for a place kind of refuge and healing. And it spoke to me in terms of what I could possibly do here for me, because I was trying to begin again, and it worked for me. I'm just, you know, grateful that I followed, you know, my spirit. At the time, this block across the street, it was three buildings across the street, which was boarded up, and then there was a methadone clinic across the street, so nobody really wanted it. I think the man probably had about six properties, and this was the last one to go. But because of where I come from, you know, I lived in Harlem all my life, and tenement, and dealt with, heroin addiction in terms of, you know, the people that we lived around. So this did not frighten me in that way.
Tell me who some of the faces are in this wall of family photographs.
For some reason, I always start off with, this is my father, David Baldwin Sr., and he died the same day I was born, so I never knew him. This is the only photograph that we have of him. And the photograph in the middle is my oldest brother, James Baldwin. And he has really given the world, in terms of literature, some of the most incredible works, I guess, that one can imagine or talk about.
It seems to me that the artist struggle for his integrity must be considered as a metaphor for the struggle which is universal and daily of all human beings on the face of this terrifying globe to get to become human beings.
After the loss of my brother, I was just totally devastated. And I met a young sculptor, and he said, put your hands in some clay. It'll be extremely therapeutic, and it'll help to heal you. I may work for almost a month just doing the heads and the clay work, and then maybe a month later I will start dealing with the torso and the body. I kind of do the manipulation, the pleating, the crinkling of the paper, and then start to dress them. But mainly I may have about 10 heads done or torsos done before I even start to dress the figures.
Let me ask you a question about the faces. One thing that they all have in common is that their eyes are closed.
Yes, actually it's always been funny because the children always ask that. And the eyes are closed, and I have not, and don't know if I will ever open them. It's simply because my healing and what it has done for me, it's staying in meditation and prayer. And that's why the eyes are closed on all of them.
Yeah, they almost encourage you to do the same.
Yes.
From Station North in Baltimore, it's a special edition of The Signal, Out of the Blocks, a simple concept from the minds of Aaron Hinken and Wendell Patrick, one city, one neighborhood, in its own words, on 88.1 WYPR.
A little shorter than my average piece. Usually I try to go up about 18 feet or something, and I have a 14-foot collapsible ladder, so that gets me up there. So my name is Nether. I'm a Baltimore street artist. In the last about 5 years, I've been putting my artwork up on vacant properties. I'm going to be doing a piece of a lady kind of looking out, kind of in a very dignified sense, holding up her fingers, and her fingers are going to be crossed. Generally, I kind of just chalk a rough outline, like, you know, where the eyes are going to go, where the nose is going to go, and then where the mouth's going to go, and kind of, you know, everything else goes from there. Map out these eyebrows a little bit. A lot of street artists, I guess, use spray paint. I use a little bit of spray paint in certain areas. I used to use more, but mainly I use gallons of exterior latex paint. I always kind of do like, you know, sienna, and then go lighter with kind of a pretty classic brown, or sometimes this sweet tea color, like the spray paint. It's just kind of like a little bit of a purple or red. And then usually for my lights, I use, I think it's like called like hemp buttermilk, is actually the name of the Gildan paint, and or the tone. But that's usually what I use for my highlights. And then sometimes if I'm going real detailed on the shading, I'll just throw like little dashes of white as well.
Dude, this is like awesome, man. I really like it. How many times have you actually done this?
I mean, a few hundred. A lot of my earlier stuff was kind of like on paper, and then I put it up with the glue, you know, the wheat paste stuff.
Yeah.
You've seen, but like recently I've been some kind of like painting more murals, but in murals probably about like 20 around Baltimore.
I probably seen a couple of them downtown.
Yeah, a few over in Station North, a bunch over kind of like Sandtown, like about around like the A-Rabber stables and stuff. Like,
I see them all the time. And I'm like, I don't know who keeps doing this, but they're doing a good job. Dude, yeah. It's great. All right, thanks, man. All right, see you later.
I'm from Baltimore. I like love my city and rep it to the death. But at the same time, like I'm a white boy in a black neighborhood. And I think there's a lot of artists who aren't conscious of these things. You know, they just see a wall and an opportunity. I see it as more of like a conversation starting tool. I see that, that's what I see street art as.
It's a refreshing, because normally this alley is full of trash and degradation, and now it seems like you're bringing life to it. And you're depicting Baltimore's essence of people on the wall. She looks like she has a whole lot of hope. And that's basically what you need in this city, is hope. And without hope, the city is doomed.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to a special edition of Out of the Blocks Station North, from radio producer Aaron Hinken and music producer Wendell Patrick on the signal 88.1 WYPR in Baltimore.
I'm Stephanie Safiatu Edwards. My address is 1733 Guilford Avenue. This is my magic basket, where we have scissors and combs and all different types of combs in here. I started off in 1990 as a licensed hairstylist, and from there I moved into hair art. The best thing they could have ever done was come out with this floor length hair. This hair is extra. It's like three times longer is what they call it. And it reaches the floor. So I took a model and I painted her silver. And then I took this hair and I started off with the top to cover her breasts. I was like, okay, I need to cover her breasts. So I just swirled it and wrapped it and dipped it until it was just like this massive creation. And then I said, well, she needs earrings. So I took a plain hoop earring and wrapped hair all through it until it looked like two dream catchers. Then I found a necklace, and then I covered this necklace with hair. And even nails, I took fake nails and covered them in hair, and then we glued the nails to her. She's a really good sport about it too, because I don't know how itchy she was, but it was good. Here's another picture of her here. It's satisfying to me, it's fulfilling to me. It's nothing like being filled up with something and you can't express it or get it out. So that's when these shows will come up and these other creations that I want to do on people that are willing, and just snap a picture of it so it'll last forever. It's healing. It's healing for me, and it's eye-opening to the model that didn't know that they could get away with it.
This round rack here of colorful pieces, mostly shirts from West Africa, which would be mostly Ghana, because that's where I'm from, that's where I have the most sources. We have some from Nigeria, we have some from Senegal. Over here on this rack, we have the more formal wear with embroidery. We love embroidery, and we also love color, as you can see. My name is Esther Armstrong. Most people call me Mama Kiki or Mama Esther. We are at 2442 North Charles Street, Sankofa, African and World Bazaar. I started the shop really as a favor to a friend of mine. She used to be my student, actually, when I was teaching in Ghana. And she came over to the US with a group of small-time cottage industry people from Ghana, and I helped market their products, which were very, very well made, exquisite African clothing. So I helped her market them, and when it was time for them to go back home, she left a bunch of things with me and said, you know, see if you can sell them. So I sold them to some of my friends, and that was the beginning, because people then kept calling me and wanting more stuff.
This is a go-go bell. A small balafone, a vira or a kalimba. I'm Jim Clemmer. I'm Esther's husband, even though we have different last names. It's official. And I'm her assistant here, and I'm the curator at the shop.
This random fellow was cruising North Charles Street. I can't remember what where he was headed, but he saw this African shop. So I guess he stopped and came upstairs, and as he tells his story, he says he wasn't, how do you put it?
Well, I was looking for something African, and I found it, a wife. I was actually on my way to do an estimate. I moved down here from Pennsylvania to sell German retractable awnings for decks and patios. And for once, I was early. And I had a little time to kill. And so I thought, let me go in and check this out. And that's what happened.
You went from being a retired retractable awning salesman to an expert in African art. I mean, this is not a common career progression. How did your interest and your study progress? I mean, how did you become knowledgeable to the point where you are now?
I taught world cultures. I was a high school teacher a long time ago in a previous life. But eventually, this whole study was before me, and it seemed like the thing to do. You know, I started getting books on it and teaching myself.
What you have here are two tribal wedding pieces.
This pair of figures
is from a group called
they live along
Sanufa,
about 90 miles.
Here's a tribe.
It's the Sanufa people away in the north of Ivory Coast.
That's how it goes. And I easily say it's a white guy who knows more about the African act than the African woman. Go figure.
This one has been ruined so that their seeds and in their wedding ceremony they exchange. Sort of a symbolic, I'm giving you me. And they're actually tribal pieces.
He can talk.
From the minds of radio producer Aaron Hinken and music producer Wendell Patrick, this is Out of the Blocks Station North on 88.1 WYPR in Baltimore.
My name's Jason C. Hoylman. And we're at 405 East Oliver Street at the 405 building, also home of the gallery space area 405. Why don't you guys come inside and we'll give you a tour of the building. Lock that top bolt behind you. As you can see, there's kind of a ridiculous amount of scrap metal and tools and rust and just anything and everything you could possibly think of back here. The maze. We're gonna go through this door and make a right. Across. There's a few more studios in it. So we're gonna go down the stairs to the first landing and make a left. Then we make another left. A little hallway here. We're gonna go through a set of fire doors and make a right turn. Double doors at the end of the hallway is our studio. Two small buckets of like little brushes. Jars of paint. Quartz, everything from shellac to general house paint. I tend to buy like a really nice industrial grade acrylic and then add thick artist paint to it to kind of make my own thinner paints so that it's almost like glazing with acrylics. Palm sander, because I actually like to be able to take like a palm sander to the painting every once in a while to either expose layers underneath or get rid of certain bumps or whatever, make things really nice and smooth. That's a visual example. This one's probably about 36 inches square. There's one large central panel, has a Necker cube on it and some other traditional math diagrams. Essentially, you have a regular cube that you think of. If you're drawing a cube in accurate perspective, you kind of generally see like a corner. And a Necker cube is a different form of perspective that allows you to kind of see more of the actual object. So it's not technically correct as far as the human eye sees, but it illustrates more clearly. This front square, say like that's the front. And then you look at the other side of it and that becomes the front. And once you notice that particular shift, that it moves kind of in place, you experience what's known as a cognitive rupture, and you can no longer see it in just one position anymore. Those ideas of perception and what you see and what you don't get to see and what you're paying attention to and what you're not paying attention to and what you miss, like all of those things are of interest to me, basically. That is actually a 3D cube puzzle called a Bedlam cube that I've never been able to solve. It's a really fun trick to give to people who think they're really good at puzzles like that. And then they go over in the corner and they end up being over there for like an hour and a half. And then they get really frustrated and they order their own and they sit at home and do it.
You should keep that at the bar for people who are bothering you.
I used to, actually.
You're tuned in to a special edition of The Signal. Out of the Block, Station North, a neighborhood in its own words, on 88.1. WYPR.
I was 10 years old. My mother went to go get her hair done. I was supposed to go, but on this particular day, she decided to let me stay home with my father. And so we played checkers like we normally do. And on this day, I beat my father. And he was like, "Wow, you're ready for chess." And so he got out the chessboard. And I couldn't make a move. I couldn't make a move. I didn't know what to do. It was too many options, too many movements, and everything could have killed me. And so I didn't make a move. A few hours go by. My mother comes home. We're going to drive to Pasadena to get our taxes done. Halfway there, while we were in the car, my father had a heart attack and died. So that's why chess is dear to me.
My pawn just took your knight.
I'm B Fly, and I live in Station North. Give me all my roses now, cause for long I'll be gone. My life's been full of trauma, so deep can't tell my mama. I shout out through this song, though you think I'm loud and wrong. The people know the war ain't over, battle's just begun. If someone rides, you look in my eyes and see where I'm coming from. The drama just won't stop, drop, roll, whoa. Who's a Nazi sis with that bow leg? If I'll be fly, been fly since I've been knee high. I stay on them herbals till I'm old and gray. So come and fly with me. B-Fly came about once I moved to Baltimore. She was created on a Delta airline, on a napkin. just bullets of characteristics I needed this MC to have in this new city. Intimidating, persuasive, lyrically fierce as f***. I wanted to be able to take anyone's man. My team be rolling deeper than geese information. Don't sleep on the rhyme, racing to the sun. No time for idle fun. War's going on, it's gotta be won. Good done, no. 911 was just a mini flick before the show. Get the people shook, usher in the new world order. If you don't get checked, yo, be smarter. Raise my fist, load my clip, black power. Check the lyric, go down like it was fire, brimstone. In 2012, I was asked to be a part of the Transmodern Festival that happens every year. And so this was my first venture into performance art as a medium. And it was my intention to show myself as a bleacher, as a black person who wants to bleach their skin white. And I reached out to people for their makeup. And it was so interesting. Like, I'm calling a couple friends who are much lighter than me or white. Hey, can I borrow your foundation? I need to do something for this production. And they were like, B-Fly, I don't know if I feel safe. I don't know if I feel good about this. And so I'm like, interesting. Why are you scared? So we get to the day of the show and I'm trying to cover my face and it's not covering. And I realized that I had to do something and the only thing that would cover my black was black. So I covered my face very quickly. And once I dropped that gold glitter on my eyes and once I put the gold glitter on my lips, it was no longer blackface. I was, at that point, God. It gave me this boost to get in the car and go to Transmodern. And so while we're driving down the street, I'm watching people point, and some of the looks are amazement, some of the looks are a gasp. And it gave me a freedom that I've never experienced before. It gave me an honor.
What you're doing is nothing less than redefining every connotation that goes along with the term blackface.
Yes. Every time I put on my makeup. Checkmate.
I started on the corner of North Avenue and Harford, selling flowers on the corner. For Mother's Day and Easter, the money that I made, I said I have to do something with it. And I said, I need a flower shop. I would like for it to be on a corner where a lot of traffic, and this was the perfect spot. I've been here through the good times and the bad times. A lot of business open and close. And one time I was the only business on this block. My name is Vanda Pearson, owner of Pearson's Florist, 1 East North Avenue. There are three McCalls. That's Margaret, that's Partner, and this one right here is Yo. Yo is my first bird. When I got Yo, I had him for about 3 months, and I couldn't think of a good name. I put him out on the front, and the public would walk by and play with him and say, hey, Yo, hey, yeah, and I just heard Yo so much where I said, why not?
If you do touch their beak, they won't bite you. If you do this in front of their mouth, they be like biting you.
What's your name?
Monte.
Do you like hanging out here in Grandpa's shop?
Yes.
Does he let you help arrange the flowers?
Yes.
How old are you?
6.
I'm hoping that I can teach my grandson everything I know. But as you see, he's 6 years old and he got a lot of play in him, but he's a good communicator. So hopefully he could learn the trick of the trade and the skill. Pom-poms, carnations, orchids, roses, lilies, Casanova, anthurium, daisies, gladiolus, snapdragons, different shades and colors. If I don't have it in stock, all I could do is pick up the telephone in less than an hour. I could have it in here. I'm timing myself because I'm the only one that makes all the arrangements. And if I got like four or five funerals in that one day, if it's 6 hours of work, I have to do it in 3 hours, hoping that the phone is not ringing off the hook or a lot of customers are coming in. So once that starts to happen and I have to do it, then I have to speed myself up to make sure I'm on time with everything. And then right after you finish working hard, then you have to say, okay, thank the Lord, I got everything out on time and everything's gone. And then you look around and then you say, I gotta clean this mess I made up. And then that's another hour and a half, 2 hours of cleaning up what you don't messed up.
Hello, Pierce's.
Okay, 1 o'clock is fine. Okay. I just thank the Lord that he blessed me with a talent that I can compete with just about anybody and, you know, get the job done and be having fun while I'm doing it and just knock it out. And my loyal customers that comes and patronize me and say, I came all the way from Randalltown, I came all the way from here, there, because I won't get my flowers from nowhere else. And that's a blessing too. So keep coming.
From radio producer Aaron Hinken and music producer Wendell Patrick, it's Out of the Blocks, Station North, on the Signal, 88.1 WYPR in Baltimore.
Wrenches, pipe cutters, files, and hammers, and over here, the wall of saws, clamps, squares. My name is Natalia Backus. I'm one of the tool librarians at the Station North Tool Library. We're at 417 East Oliver Street in Baltimore. Under here, we have our drawers where there's more tools sorted. Tape measures, stud finders, knives, chisels. We're like a book library, but with tools.
My name is Jeffrey Gates. I've borrowed everything from, you know, bandsaws, jigsaws, you know, a drill when I need it or for around the house.
To become a member, you make a donation and then you're a member for a year.
It's great because I can live in a city and I don't have a lot of the storage capabilities and I don't have the money to buy a lot of these big tools that I need. And so it's great to have this huge supply of tools right across the street from my house.
You can borrow up to 8 tools at a time, keep it out for 1 week. And if you need to renew it for a second week, you can either call or come in to renew it. Now that we also have the workshop space, if you take a safety class, you can work on your own projects during open shop time or take one of the classes that are offered.
That's our drill press. So that's the sound of the thickness planer. This is our jointer. That's the sound of the table saw. So this is a buffer. That is just basically a big vacuum cleaner. So I'm Armand Mazzani. Maybe 3 or 4 months ago, they started building out this space as a resource for the members to come and have a space to work and have professional shop tools to kind of do their thing. So I offer a lot of technical advice if the person wants it. We're also like really big on not hovering, and like we really try not to be know-it-alls and make people feel very comfortable to come in here and not know how everything works and just learn themselves.
My name is David Meyer. This is an old IKEA shelf that I had for a year. I built it. It was rickety as hell, and parts, so I took it apart, and now it's becoming handy little crates. I'm going to put all my stuff in them.
There's a sort of empowering capacity to being able to fix things yourself or, you know, do projects, build things, and so having that available to the public at a very reasonable cost is super exciting. I'm Sarah Doherty, and I've recently started volunteering to come in and check tools and to fix those that need repair and make sure that the tools that are donated are in good working order.
I'm John Shea. We just started doing a lot of research, and eventually me and Piper, my girlfriend, took a cross-country motorcycle trip and went to tool lending libraries all over the U.S. And all of that information from that trip we brought back here and kind of just had like a potluck, and we just like opened it up to like the community to like come and voice their opinions on what they would want out of a tool lending library. That first day, I think we signed up like 50 members or something our first night. Now we're at almost 500.